Good morning. My name is Dwayne Neufeld, and you're probably saying, Dwayne, why are you wearing that crazy t-shirt and that hat? And I'm glad you asked. I work with Mennonite Disaster Service as a volunteer, and today is kind of a nearly an MDS kind of Sunday at the back. So there's two little announcements. One at the back, there's a table with a variety of goodies, such as pens and sticky pads and things like that, and the world's smallest flashlight that can be yours. And on top of that, also, there's at the end of the service, Adeline and I have prepared a small lunch. So if you're interested in talking more about MDS, join us for some chili. We have room for about, I don't know, 15 people or so. So if you're interested, forgot your lunch, want to do something different for lunch, come join us for chili. And on top of that, we have our brand new executive director from Winnipeg coming to preach today. Reynold Friesen began as an executive director of Mennonite Disaster Service Canada in February of this year. Prior to MDSC, Reynold has worked as a pastor in congregations in Ontario and Manitoba. Along the way, he has been a camp director, director of development, manager of distribution center for food banks, even spent a summer working at his sister and brother-in-law's farm, collecting eggs, driving grain. He is passionate about sharing the love and reconciliation of Jesus in tangible and meaningful ways to those in need. Reynold lives in Winnipeg with his wife, Tammy, and two young adult sons, Caleb and Jesse. Welcome.
Thank you. Well, good morning. It is wonderful to be here. It is wonderful to be here and to worship with you. And I should also note, Dwayne and our board was actually in Winnipeg on Friday, and I mentioned that I was coming here, and they all send their greetings to you, as well as our staff. So, greetings from MDS Canada. One of the blessings of the work that I get to do is interact with all kinds of Mennonite churches and people. One of the, we call it the secret sauce of MDS, is that we really try hard to be a big umbrella of Anabaptists. And so that includes Mennonite Brethren, it includes EMCs and EMMCs and Mennonite Church Canada and Hutterites and Amish and Old Order and Old Colony. We all believe a little bit different things about the Bible. Our worship looks different, but we're able to kind of lay our differences aside at an MDS project and simply be the hands and the feet of Jesus and serve those who have lost their home because of some sort of disaster. So that is a really special thing that MDS does. I was thinking this last week, actually, it being Pentecost just a couple of weeks ago, the Spirit coming down and the disciples being sent in different languages, an MDS project is kind of a Pentecost. We all have our differences, and yet we're still unified under our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and under his mission. So thank you also for anybody who has contributed in any way to our mission of MDS, whether it is in volunteering. Volunteers are our gold. We could not do what we do across Canada and the U.S. without our volunteers. Those who keep in contact with MDS by reading our materials, visiting our websites, following us on social media, that's also a gift to us. Thank you as well for those who donate financially. Those all ways are ways in which you participate in being part of the MDS community. And I, like Dwayne said, happy to share a bowl of chili with you and talk more MDS and what we're doing, and would love to have more volunteers from Eagle Ridge join our family. So how many of you work in a company, go to school, or volunteer in an organization that has a mission statement? Maybe some of you don't know, but these organizations, probably almost all of them, have one. Now, the mission statement is a relatively new idea. Peter Drucker, an organizational guru in the 1970s, started to ask organizations and churches to kind of lay out and list what it is that their goal was. What direction were they going? So let's see if you can guess what some of these mission statements or who they are from. Number one, focuses on nurturing the human spirit one cup at a time. Starbucks. Who had a Starbucks coffee this morning? Is your spirit nurtured?
I have Tim's.
No, I don't know. Tim's? I won't ask about the coffee here at church and if it nurtures your spirit or not. Number two, to bring inspiration and innovation to every athlete in the world. Nike. Now, you'll notice the asterisk there beside athlete. Nike says, if you have a body, you are an athlete. So no excuses. Number three, this is kind of a generic one, so this might be a little trickier. Our mission is to empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. Microsoft. So anybody who's an Apple person, you don't know that one. And for number four, to serve the public interest through open, fair, and accountable local government with a focus on leadership, innovation, and community priorities and strengths. You don't know this one? This is your city of Coquitlam's. Disappointed. I don't know Winnipeg's mission statement either, so. MDS's mission statement is, we respond to disasters, we rebuild homes, and restore hope by organizing and empowering volunteers in the U.S. and in Canada. And our mission statement, which we actually probably use more than our mission statement, is that we strive to be the hands and feet of those affected by disasters. Now here is Jesus' mission statement. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. These words, quoting the Isaiah scroll, were spoken in Jesus' home synagogue. This was kind of Jesus' launch party into his ministry, which almost turned into a lynching. He'd been baptized by John the Baptist, tempted by the devil, and now was prepared to go out and begin his ministry. In quoting Isaiah, Jesus is laying out exactly what will guide all of his life, all his teachings, relationships, conversations, and healings, and it will keep him laser focused in the face of his own excruciating execution. Jesus directly ties his mission to Isaiah and what God has been doing all along throughout history. The mandate that will guide Jesus' life follows this same trajectory that God has been doing all along. It's not a right turn or a left turn or even a U-turn. Jesus is sent into the world by God to bring healing, hope, restoration, and renewal to us all. That word sent is going to be important, and you're going to hear me say it often today. Your series theme is God's grand design for his church. And part of that design, that blueprint, is that we, like Jesus, are sent people on a mission of God. Missio Dei is Latin for the mission of God. Missio, mission, Dei, God. It's not the church that has the mission. It's God that has a mission, and we are invited to join in it. The movement of God and God's mission is always outward, always leaning into something, always extending beyond itself. God didn't stay put somewhere, but stepped into the world. God the Father sent God the Son. God the Father and God the Son sent God the Holy Spirit. And God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit sends us. God is moving into the world all the time, breaking down barriers between God and us. And as members of Christ's church, Christ's body, we are all sent ones. The word sent in the New Testament, including in Jesus' own mission statement that I already read, is translated apostello in Greek, which is where we get the word apostle, which means sent ones. Apostles make the good news of Jesus Christ real to other people. Last week, Sam Dick from Multiply spoke about the story of Peter and Cornelius from Acts 10. I'd like to move back a couple of chapters to Acts 8, where it speaks of the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And all these stories are right at the infancy, the birthplace of the church and where it started and where it started to spread. So the story begins. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." You're going to notice through this story that the Spirit and the angel continue to weave through this in a guiding kind of way. Philip is open to being sent by God, even if it takes him into some sketchy backwoods road. At the beginning of May, MDS Canada started our national project in a little community called Dunair Beach. It's 800 kilometers north and west of Winnipeg. The town had 400 homes 370 days ago. And then the Wolf wildfire spread through that and destroyed 200 of them. This week on Tuesday marked the 1 year anniversary that that happened. MDS first heard of Dunair Beach about a year ago, when all the people from Dunair Beach and Creighton and Flin Flon and communities around there were evacuated south to Winnipeg and to Brandon and other places. MDS was running and hosting one of the evacuation centers in a big soccer complex. And that's where we first heard of this little hamlet called Dunair Beach. I believe that those first interactions were God's initial nudge for us to go north. God was saying, go north, way north, to this little community just west of Flin Flon off a deserted road. And so, the former executive director, following the Spirit's leading, went in August for the first investigation. And then after that, a number of times, us as staff and volunteers went to meet the community, meet the homeowners who lost their homes, and find out how we as MDS could help. MDS often finds itself in out-of-the-way places. Now, Dunair Beach kind of has a bit of an exotic sound to it. It's not. It's a beautiful place, tucked in an overlooked part of Canada, engulfed in God's beautiful creation, but it's never going to make one of those screen backgrounds that Microsoft gives us every day. Other out-of-the-way desert roads that MDS currently has projects on include Kowak, Alaska. It is so remote that our volunteers have to fly an hour and a half from Anchorage west to the coast, and all of the supplies for the build have to be shipped in. Or Creston, North Carolina, Spencer, Ohio, or much closer here is Elk, Washington, which Duane and Adeline know well. These are not familiar places to us. Most of us couldn't put our finger on the place on the map where they exist. And often folks in these kind of out-of-the-way communities feel forgotten and overlooked. But that is where MDS is often led by the Spirit. And that is often where the Spirit also sends us. listening to God's call to bring healing and hope to people in this world will send us into unique places that we could have never imagined being, or perhaps even want to be. Whether it be a small hamlet that no one has heard of, or maybe a dangerous part of an inner city neighborhood, part of God's grand design for the church is to be open to be led by the Spirit into some unexpected and often uncomfortable places. So Acts 8 continues. So he, Peter, started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone from Jerusalem to worship, and on his way was sitting in his chariot reading from the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, there's that Spirit again, go to that chariot and stay near it. The Ethiopian is a high-ranking official holding the purse strings of the Queen of Ethiopia. Having traveled a great distance from his home country to Jerusalem to worship God, he's evidently some kind of spiritual seeker. He's looking for something, some kind of connection with the divine. Yet because of his status as a eunuch, he would have been relegated to the outer areas, the outer courts of the temple. He would have been excluded from full participation in worshiping Yahweh. As a eunuch and a foreigner with a different color of skin, the Ethiopian would have felt like an outsider in Jerusalem, overlooked by some, shamed by others. And my guess is that the few Jews that he passed on that deserted road would have stared at him because of his wealth or unique look, or judged him as unclean. MDS repairs and rebuilds homes for those who have little or no home insurance. This means that we are most often dealing with people who are struggling financially or who have other family, emotional, social challenges. These are the people, like the Ethiopian, who are often disregarded and put to the side of society. Overlooked, they do not always feel the same kind of support that we get from the support systems and the family systems that we kind of take for granted. I heard more than one story last week when I was in Dinair Beach, a resident who felt overlooked by the government now and even during the fire, and ignored by insurance companies. They know well how the crack feels because they're always falling between it. Our story moves on. Then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone else explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with the very passage of scripture and told him the good news of Jesus. Now, given the status of the Ethiopian, this must have been the grand caravan of chariots. Both of them are sitting there. You'll learn that there's a driver later on. They had luggage. This was a roomy chariot. And stepping into that chariot, Philip steps over all types of social boundaries. Jew, non-Jew, citizen, foreigner, rich, not so rich. Philip enters the world fundamentally different than his own. Put this scene of stepping into a chariot of somebody different than us against the current reality that we all live in, where people are moving further and further away from people who are different from ourselves. We retreat into the safety of our echo chambers with others who look like us, think like us, believe like us, and vote like us. The algorithms of social media silo us from people who are different from ourselves, and we rarely step into the chariots of other people who are not like us. And all of this erodes trust and empathy and understanding and a basic respect that every person, no matter who they are and how different they are from us, is still made by God and is a child of God. This is what makes the movement of Philip by the Holy Spirit so radical. Breaking down social boundaries, he sought to make Jesus' reconciling love real by befriending this stranger and this foreigner, the one who is ethnically, socially, financially, and religiously different than him. Philip guides us as we are sent into the world on how to make Jesus real to other people. He comes alongside and engages the eunuch with the questions that he has, demonstrating a respect for the Ethiopian's own faith wonderings. Philip avoids coming with his own agenda, asserting his own ideas, but rather begins with exactly where the Ethiopian is at and what he needs. He starts there with Isaiah and then begins to connect the dots to Jesus. All this is so wonderfully, humbly relational. MDS steps into people's chariots and over all sorts of differences. This is Mike and me pouring concrete a week ago in Mike's soon-to-be basement. If Mike and I lived in the same town or city, we would not hang out together. He's a different belief system than me, a different lifestyle than me. He likes to fish and hunt. I'm a city guy. This wouldn't work. But here, we stepped into each other's chariots. We encourage our volunteers to become part of the community that they are volunteering in, even if it's just for one quick week. Get to know the culture, get to know the food, get to know the customs, what's going on in the town, and especially get to know the people. And we encourage our homeowners, like Mike, to volunteer along with us volunteers. And every Wednesday evening, typically, we invite the homeowner, one of the homeowners we're working with, to come and have supper with us, to break bread with us, and share their story of tragedy, loss, and most importantly, survival. MDS begins with the needs of the homeowners and where they are at. Obviously, they need a home with walls and a roof, but beyond that, they need hope. And they need to feel that they have not been forgotten. MDS is also rebuilding a home for Stephen. Stephen is a local firefighter for Dunair Beach, a volunteer firefighter. And that volunteer firefighter department was called in to fight the Wolf wildfire, even though they are not forest firefighters. He was fighting the fire that took his home. When we met with Stephen in March, he asked us, "So, can I take some of your volunteers fishing?" And we all looked wide-eyed and we asked quickly, "How big is your boat?" Because we have 20 to 25 every week. He literally asked us to come into his chariot into his boat. This is him. He does this every 2 weeks now while we're rebuilding his house. He makes the volunteers a fish fry. Some of the best fishing is in Dener Beach. When I asked Pastor Dave for a Bible text for this sermon, he passed along Jeremiah 29:7, and little did he know that this is one of my top five passages for motivating my life and inspiring my ministry. So I'm going to start with verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I've sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city that I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find welfare. But seek the Lord, the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray for the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find welfare. There is that word sent again. We are to pray, to root for the people, the place that we are sent into, and seek its welfare. Welfare in Hebrew means shalom. We know that word is peace. But it really means bringing wholeness out of brokenness, harmony where there is discord, security where people live in fear, and flourishing when people are diminishing. For this Ethiopian spiritual seeker, the welfare he sought was clarity and understanding about the scriptures and who this scripture was talking about. Philip offered radical acceptance and love that Jesus offers us all. In his words, in his presence, in his proximity to the Ethiopian, he was embodying the good news of the love of Jesus that we have experienced. Seeking the welfare where we are sent takes many forms. We talk about the gifts of the Spirit and how we are all different and have different things we can offer. Where people we are sent, we are to use those unique gifts to bring people to a point of flourishing, of welfare, of well-being. While MDS is not shy about sharing the good news verbally, we seek the welfare of others first by being the hands and the feet of Jesus. That is, we let our tangible actions, our volunteer work, embody the good news. We let our sledgehammers, our screwdrivers, and our shovels speak of Jesus' love. And it starts to open doors where we can verbally talk about Jesus too. The one thing that I don't want us to overlook in Jeremiah 29 is that our own welfare is intricately woven into the welfare of others, the larger community, especially the least of these, the ones who are vulnerable, the ones who are suffering. When the one whose chariot that we choose to step into is made whole and flourishing, guess what? We're flourishing too. If you ask any MDS volunteer who has made a connection with one of the homeowners that we are serving and done meaningful work for them, they will tell you that they are a better, more whole person because of it. The word that I used as I left Dener Beach a week ago was joy, because the volunteers, despite all the disaster and stuff that was around in Air Beach had this joy. And I can only think it is because they were seeking the welfare of others that they were made whole as well. It turns out that well-being is contagious. And our story continues. As they traveled along the road, they came to water, and the eunuch said, "Here, there's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the Ethiopian went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord, there's the Spirit again, suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip's willingness to enter a relationship with the Ethiopian in his chariot, to sit there with him and talk about Isaiah, leads the Ethiopian to ask for baptism. God's Spirit stirred in his soul in such a way that he was transformed. Remember what Jesus' mission statement was at the beginning: bringing good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free the oppressed. That is all about a transformation of life, of mind, of body, of soul. Indeed, if our calling is to be participants in God's mission, to be sent into the world to make Jesus real to others, then our goal is for them to be transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ultimately, that transformation is not about us. It's not about the houses we build, but about what God's love does for them in their hearts. And baptism is a sign of that transformative work that God does for us. I'd like to close by sharing two stories of how the good news was shared in very tangible ways through the work of MDS and how that brought about a sort of transformation in others. Hurricane Maria hammered Puerto Rico in 2017. It was the costliest and deadliest hurricane of that country's history. Just wiped it out. Miguel had an old wood frame home that was utterly destroyed. Now, a thing you need to know about Miguel is he lived alone, and prior to the hurricane, he had experienced something that happened where he got hurt and was left in a wheelchair. Before the hurricane, his friends would sit on his front porch. They would smoke and drink and talk. And after the hurricane, and after his house was rebuilt, he said this: "I have a new home. I have to be a new person." So he gave up smoking, he gave up drinking, and started attending church. And the sign of his transformation literally is a sign above his new porch that says, "No smoking." And this is, next picture, this is Jeff and Sylvia Starr being hugged by Denis, one of our volunteers and on our board. Jeff and Sylvia moved from Winnipeg to a little community called Lebeau, Manitoba, about 40 minutes northeast of Winnipeg. The home that they had bought was not in great repair, and then Jeff had a heart attack and couldn't maintain the house regularly. So in 2022, a heavy snowfall in winter collapsed their roof and destroyed their home. So MDS, led by Denis, he was our response coordinator, came in and built them a home last year. They moved in sometime around Christmas, the new year, 2025, 2026. So we had a home dedication in January, just a few months ago. And at this home, Sylvia said, "You didn't just build us a place to live. You brought our family back to life." They had experienced the resurrection power of God. In a world with so much despair and division and cruelty and hurt, we need to remember that the Missio Dei, this God reaching into our world, is not over. God is continuing to extend his love into our world and is inviting all of us into that same movement of mission. May the example of Philip inspire and equip and invite us to listen to where the Spirit might be leading us. And it might be a desert road. It might be an uncomfortable place. May we have the courage, the trust, and the faith to step into the chariots of other people's lives and listen to where they are at first, where their struggles, where their questions are. And then may we, in tangible ways, start to connect them to the love of Jesus. Through God's Spirit, may others experience the life-changing love and grace of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, I'm grateful for this community, Eagle Ridge, and for the ways that your Spirit has worked in them through many years and continues to work. Thank you for the ways that they have already been extending a mission, whether it is the whole church or just individuals. Thank you for working with each, with sending people into this world of brokenness to bring your good news of healing, hope, and love. I ask that each person here would listen to the Spirit, find their calling, use their gifts, and step into other people's chariots that are different than them. I pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen.
He will make a way. And he might choose to make a way through you to bless somebody else. Just a reminder that Kira and Terry are our prayer team this morning, and they will be up here to pray with you. To pray with you if you need some of that goodness of God poured out on your life, or to praise. Maybe you have experienced that goodness in your life. A reminder, too, that if you are interested in knowing more about MDS, there is a lunch, and I'm sure you could talk to Reynold or Wayne or Adeline, or just show up at the conference room. There's room, as you said, for about 15 people, and I'd love to hear from you. Our benediction this morning comes from the book of Jude, verse 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be the glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Go in peace.